الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. Last night in the Taraweeh, those who understand the Quran Sharif, listening to Surah Yusuf would have been sufficient for their Islah. If they are involved in illicit love relationships and other kind of problems, then listening to that surah would have been sufficient for their Islah, for reformation and for change. Now in the 15 minutes, what can you really explain? So pick up that surah, read the translation, authentic translation, and see how much there is in that surah. Therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also has called it the best of all stories that is related. Ahsan al-Qasas, Allah Ta'ala says. One of the ayats, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Practically everybody knows the gist of that story. But Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was seduced by Zulaikha. Of course, before that, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he was dearly loved by his father. The other brothers became jealous of him. They wanted to get rid of him. So they took him, they put him into a well. He was removed from that well and he was sold as a slave. The Aziz of Misr purchased him after these merchants took him over to Egypt. And he was sold by the brothers just for a few coins. For a few miserable coins, they sold such a handsome, beautiful brother. Brother who had such akhlaq, such goodness, and he was going to be the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala had given him more than half the beauty of the world. Now he was sold for a few dirhams. But then when he went over to Egypt, then there he was purchased for an exorbitant price by the king or the Aziz of Egypt, who was the Aziz at that time. The wife of the Aziz became infatuated. She tried to seduce him. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said there were 7 doors that were locked. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam dashed for the door. Now there is a pretty woman, wife of the Aziz. Now she is tempting him, seducing him, but he's dashing for the door. Now there was no chance of that door opening. There were 7 doors that were locked. So he taught us a lesson that our duty is that if we are in such a situation where we are tempted by nafs and shaitan, then we must run from that place. Wherever that sin is tempting us, then we must go far away from that place. We must run. Our duty is to run. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Dash for the door. That's all that we can do. One person, an wali of Allah Ta'ala, he was in jail. On Juma day, he used to put surma in his eye, he used to apply ether, and he used to go up to the door of the jail. So they used to tell him that you cannot go for Juma Salat. What is this going up to the gate? He said, that's what I can do, go up to the gate. So that's what I'm doing. So as Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, as he dashed for the door opened. When he went for the second door, that door opened. Like that he came out. Nevertheless, to cut the whole story short, and the point that I want to bring across is this, that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, finally, when Zulaikha threatened that if you are not going to fulfill my desire this time, then you will go into jail, you will go into prison. And the other women also, they told Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that you should fulfill her desire. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, Rabbi sijnu ahabba ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. Rabbi sijnu ahabba ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. In other words, I prefer going into prison than that I should fulfill the evil desires of this woman. The evil desire of this woman to fulfill that, and all these other women also who are saying that no, you should do such a kind of sin. He says, I prefer going to prison. Now here's someone that was going to be the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, now he goes into prison. So this is history. Now in prison after that, the interpretation of the dream and all the rest of this things that take place, and then finally Allah Ta'ala elevates him to the position where he becomes the senior most person in the government of Egypt at that time. So jealousy is something that is rife in our community too. But what goes round comes round. Here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala showed that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they put him into prison. They first put him into the well, he was sold as a slave, and then he goes into prison. But then he goes to the highest post in the land. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got his own plans. Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, Allah Ta'ala only knows why certain things are happening. Now there are many, many people who are languishing in prisons even today, in Guantanamo Bay and many other parts of the world. Many people who were arrested for no other reason and no other purpose except that they were Muslims who were fighting for the cause of the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and they are languishing in prisons. So indeed we must make dua for them, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala create the conditions of release for them, and Allah Ta'ala give hidayah to those enemies of Islam. But this is a consolation for them, that if the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can also be in prison, why did Allah Ta'ala put him there? When he went in there by his akhlaq, by his character, by his behavior, by the khidmat and service that he did of the other prisoners, and the education that he took place, that he gave, and the knowledge that he gave to them, all these things changed the whole face of that prison. The people inside there, their akhlaq, their character and everything else began to change. Many, many of our great ulama who went to prisons, then this is what they did. In prison they changed the lives of those prisoners. Some places it turned out that that prison then became like a madrasa, like a Darul Uloom, where the government then got very worried. Many places it happened. Look at, read up the history of the freedom of India, and read what's happening in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, and so many other places. Those ulama who were arrested for political reasons, what happened there? Now this is the sad part, that many, many of our Muslims were also arrested for political reasons and for other reasons. They were not guilty, they hadn't committed a crime as such, but they were arrested and they were put into prison. And many, many years they spent with those prisoners. Many, many years. But instead of making those prisoners into Muslims, bringing them into the fold of Islam, bringing about a reformation and change in their lives, unfortunately many of these Muslims of ours who were in prison for many, many years, they got carried away and went on to the other side. Many of them lost their own iman. Otherwise it was an opportunity that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had created. But nevertheless, we should not ask to go into prison. Yeah, one of the things that the Mufassirin have mentioned is that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Rabbi Sijn, oh Allah, this prison is better for me. I like that. I would give priority to that. I would prefer going into prison than that I should fulfill the desire of this woman, than that I should respond to her call. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam therefore said that always ask for afiyat. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for dua. He said, ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for afiyat. We must always ask for protection from any kind of fitnas. We must ask Allah ta'ala for ease, for comfort, for the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. We mustn't ask for difficulties, hardships and problems. Many people, when some little suffering comes, then they say that we rather suffer it out in this world. Or something happens, they say we rather suffer it out in this world. Why must we ask for suffering out in this world? We mustn't ask for suffering. We must ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for afiyat. We say Allah Ta'ala must forgive us. After that, if suffering comes, then we must bear it. If suffering comes without our asking for it and without our searching for it, then we must be strong. Then we must not give in. Then we must not lose patience. Then we must not lose hope. Then we must not lose trust in our Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We must believe that there's some goodness in it. but we must not ask for it. So jealousy led to this whole situation. Many times I have mentioned that little couplet of Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, in which there is great lesson for all those who suffer from this serious disease of jealousy. Because jealousy is causing so much of problems in the community. Jealousy then leads to many, many other diseases. Therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala condemns it very severely in the Quran Sharif. And if we have to discuss the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then we can go on for hours. There's so much of condemnation of this jealousy. Because it leads to many other sicknesses and diseases of the heart. Serious diseases of the spiritual heart. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ وَالْحَطَرُ. That hasad eats up good deeds like how fire would eat up dry wood. You put fire onto wood, how it just burns it up. That is how jealousy eats up good deeds. Now the person kept fast, he made tilawat of the Quran Sharif and he made zikrullah and he gave charities and he gave so many things. And then because of the jealousy, he is burning it up. Then what kind of a person is that? Where's his senses? One is just the thought of jealousy that comes. That is not objectionable. That is human. Anybody, it might cross his mind. But jealousy means that the person wants that bounty of Allah Ta'ala to be snatched away from that person. He must lose it. Why did he get it? Why did Allah Ta'ala give him wealth? Why did he give him a good home? Why did he give him a good car? Why did he give him knowledge? Why did he make him handsome? Why did he make that woman pretty? Why didn't I get it? So if I haven't got it, that person mustn't have it too. Now that is jealousy. So the Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, before it slips my mind, used to say, Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Why are you burning in the fire of jealousy? Why are you going towards the fire of Jahannam? This hasad, it is an aag, it is a fire. He says, why are you burning in that fire? Why are you going towards Jahannam? Why are you going towards fire of hell? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz. Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz. Kaffe afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? Are you unhappy with the distribution that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made? You think Allah Ta'ala should have called up a committee meeting first? He should have made mashwara. He should have had a council to decide to whom he must give what. In other words, Allah Ta'ala should have first had some elections and have a parliamentary sitting and thereafter make some decisions as to how much of allocation to be made to the different provinces, like how we have. So Allah Ta'ala should have done that. Na'uzu billahi. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not need that. And he's got great wisdom in why he gives someone more, someone less. But at the same time, he has asked every person to fulfill the rights of the other. So if it's a rich person, he has to fulfill the right of the poor person. And when it comes to beauty, when it comes to wealth, when it comes to all these type of things, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given the criterion that these are not things by means of which a person is given esteem in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Inna akramakum inda Allah atqakum. The esteemed one in the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is that person who's got piety in him, he's got taqwa in him, he's got righteousness in him, he's got God fear in him, he restrains himself from haram and from everything displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. Then that is the person who is held in esteem. He is the person who is worthy of respect and honor. These are things of this world. Tilka layyamu nudawiluha bainan nas. Sometime this person got it, sometime that person got it. And no matter how handsome the person, old age is going to come over him. No matter how beautiful that woman, old age is going to come. Sometime in an accident she loses it. So these are not things that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala looks at. He looks at what is in the hearts. Taqwa. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught us a big lesson. Whatever it is, but he said that it, I prefer going into prison than to fulfill the evil desire of that woman. So this is what we should be saying. Of course, we shouldn't say that we prefer going to prison. But at the same time, we should take a lesson from Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's incident, that no matter how tempting the situation, anyone else would have fallen for the beauty of that woman, and again she is the wife of the Aziz of Misr, and she has got everything, and he could have had great amount of wealth and material things if he had submitted to her evil desire. But Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that my Allah is watching, I am answerable, I am accountable to Allah ta'ala. This pleasure is for a little while, but if Allah ta'ala's azab comes, then that will be the end of all pleasures. And if not in this world, then in the hereafter. Lazzate arzi mili, izzate daimi gayi. Lazzate arzi mili, izzate daimi gayi. Lazzate bandagi gayi, rahate zindagi gayi. In that little while of pleasure, how many people have lost their respect, they've lost their honor, they've lost their dignity, they've landed themselves in prisons, or they have suffered humiliation, disgrace and embarrassment. In sins, that is what a person gets. We are Muslims, we are believers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are limitations that have been put, there are boundary lines that we cannot cross. We must not look at what is happening in the society, what is happening around the world, that everything is open now, there's freedom for all. Our country did get freedom, but at the same time we got freedom for everything. Our freedom, we thought, is for everything. Now that's what we think. Those clubhouses, those cinemas, those rave clubs and those discos and those prostitute quarters and those women across the color line whom it was not permissible to marry and engage. Now we think that freedom means that everything is open, so therefore we must enjoy ourselves. That freedom is for those who don't believe in Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is Jannat on earth for them, so let them enjoy those evil pleasures. But as far as we are concerned, Allah Ta'ala has made so many things halal for us, so many things halal for us, so many things halal for us. Then why should we go towards that which is haram? And that which will bring disgrace, embarrassment, shame and humiliation. We want the conditions around the world to change. We want everybody to become walis of Allah Ta'ala. And we want victory, we want success, we want fatah. We want dominance. And this is what they should do and that is what they should do. But what should we be doing? Shouldn't we bring about a change in ourselves? Look at our cinemas, look at our discos, look at our rave clubs, look at all the other areas of sin. Who is frequenting these places? Looking at it percentage-wise. So we should not just take it for granted that things will just change without us changing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. So we have to change ourselves, then Allah Ta'ala will change the conditions. So there is great amount of lessons in that story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, but this was one thing that he said, I'd rather go to prison, but I'm not going to commit this sin. That is what we must learn, that I rather turn to my Allah, ask Him for protection, than that I should go towards any kind of sin. And then see what Allah Ta'ala does, from what position He raised him to which position. Times will change and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give that person rewards. Even in this world the person gets the rewards. Now at that time when anybody saw him in that well, they would have said, look at this person, what a miserable life. Is Allah has forsaken him. There is nobody on his side. He seems to be deserted. And he's a pious person, then why is he going through all this? And then after that, through all the being sold in the marketplace and then being sold as a and then being purchased by the Aziz of Misr and then going into prison, their contention would have become even more stronger. That look at this person. If Allah was on his side, then why all these type of sufferings? But then Allah Ta'ala raises him to the king, to the level of king of the land. And those same brothers then come and they ask him for forgiveness. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us strong and solid iman. And let us believe very firmly that our sustenance and everything else is distributed by Allah Ta'ala. We must be satisfied and contented. The marketplace is wide and open. We must go and work and earn. And whatever Allah Ta'ala provides from halal sources, then be content and satisfied. don't look at other people's wealth and beauty and property and other things with jealousy, because we will be destroying ourselves. I conclude on that one saying of one poet. He says that, don't worry, just be a little patient over a person's jealousy. Just be a little patient. Because if he doesn't have anything else to burn his home, then this jealousy itself is sufficient to burn his heart. If he doesn't have anything else, jealousy is burning him. Why must you worry? Be a little patient. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from these deadly diseases of our spiritual self. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد نعلم أنك يضيق صدرك بما يقولون فسبح بحمد ربك وكن من الساجدين واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. صدق الله العظيم. In this verse of the Quran Sharif which you heard in last night's Tarawih, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam that we are aware, because who has more knowledge than Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala is aware of everything. But to give consolation to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, to give him tasalli, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says we are aware of it. I'm just giving you an explanation. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says we are aware of this fact, that when these kuffar are not obeying, when they are not listening to your message, when they are rejecting the beautiful message of the Quran, when they are refusing to believe in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala and in the finality of your prophethood, now all these things cause you a kind of constraint in your heart. It tightens your chest, literally, that's what it means. That there is a kind of tightening. You feel hurt. You feel grieved. That instead of accepting the message, they call you all kinds of names. They call you a madman, na'uzubillah. They call you a magician. They call you a poet. They call you so many kinds of names. Now all these titles that they give you, all the insults and abuses that they hurl at you, so it causes you some kind of pain and some kind of hurt. That here I am giving them the message which will give them salvation in this world, in the hereafter, which will bring them peace, happiness. But instead of accepting it, they are rejecting it. And in return, this is what they are doing, that they are calling me magician and all kinds of names. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says we are aware of this. Now in response, what should you do? In response, what should you do? This grief, this sorrow, this pain, this hurt, this injury, it's a natural thing. In other words, it's a natural thing. You can't say that it doesn't hurt. The person who is giving an invitation towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala, he's calling towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is inviting towards Haqq, and he doesn't have any other material motivation also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had absolutely no greed or any kind of material motive behind this invitation of his. In the present today, lots of people are inviting towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala, but in how many cases the intentions are not what they should be. Behind this invitation towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala, there is numerous amount of intentions. Sometimes it is material gain, material benefit. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was absolutely sincere. There was no doubt in his sincerity. So Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam is told that Allah Ta'ala knows that when you are calling and when towards his deen, and these people are hurling abuses at you, then it hurts. It is natural. This is a natural thing. So no person can say that It doesn't cause me any kind of hurt, injury, pain, grief, sorrow. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that it causes you, then how can we ordinary human beings say that it doesn't cause us any kind of pain? That when we are giving the message towards Haqq and there is a rejection. But in response, what should be our reaction? What should be our reaction? Must we bark back at the dogs that are barking? If the person is going to bark back at the dog that is barking, of what benefit will that be? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that the solution to the problem is this. The solution is this. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. You sing praises of your Rabb. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's praises you must sing. You must glorify Him. You must praise your Allah. You must praise your Creator. وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi in his tarjuma, he says, اور سجدہ کرنے والوں میں رہیے. And stay amongst those people who are making sajda. What it means is that makes salat. So if you want some kind of peace, if you want some kind of satisfaction, if you want to get over this pain and grief and sorrow and hurt and injury that it is causing to you, then you should not respond in a similar manner. That you also start swearing them. You also start cursing them. You also start hurling abuses at them. You also call them the same kind of names. You also give them the same kind of titles. They are calling you madman. They are calling you a magician. They are calling you all kinds of names. So you too do the same thing. If they call somebody orthodox, they call somebody conservative, they call somebody orthodox, somebody outdated, somebody living in the camel age, somebody living in some other planet. Whatever they call, so sometimes it does cause some kind of hurt and injury. But now the reaction should not be that we do the same thing. We are Muslims, we are believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is the prescription that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given. That if you want some kind of consolation, if you want some kind of peace, if you want to get over this hurt and injury and pain, then your response should be that you make tasbih of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In other words, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is trying to say to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam that these people who are calling you all kinds of names, they are hurling all kinds of abuse at you, and they are saying that you are a madman. So you praise Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. All praise is due to Allah ta'ala. In other words, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows that who is the one that is worthy of risalat, of prophethood. Allah ta'ala knows who is worthy of being made rahmatul lil alameen. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows that. So Allah Ta'ala, He will not choose a person who is a madman to convey His message. So these people who are calling you mad, they are mad. These people who are calling you mad, they are mad. It shows that they haven't got brains. They haven't got even a little intelligence. That the Creator of the universe, the one who has created the heavens and the earth, the one who has created man and jinn, the one who is providing for the fish in the sea. Look at the colors of the fish in the sea now. Who gives those colors to those fish? Look at the different kinds of fruit. Look at the different kinds of flowers. Look at the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is why Allah ta'ala repeatedly asks us in the Quran to ponder, to reflect, to look at His creation and see. You will see the qudrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that Allah who has created man, that Allah who has given man intelligence, that Allah ta'ala who has provided man with every resources, then how can that Allah, na'uzu billah, give His messengership, the prophethood to a person who is mad, to a person who is a magician, the person who has got no akhlaq, no character, no... How can He ever give the prophethood to such a person? So these people who are calling you those names and they are calling you, giving you those titles, they are the ones who are deserving of all those titles. But you don't bother about calling them by names and hurling abuses at them, there's no need for that. You make tasbih of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, glorify and praise your Allah ta'ala, and you will find in your heart a kind of solace, peace, tranquility, serenity. That is the effect of the tasbih of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that it will bring sukoon in your heart. And on the other hand, if you are going to also do the same thing, that if somebody swears you, you swear him. Somebody curses you, you curse him. Somebody throws a stone at you, you throw a rock at him. The person who does anything, then you multiply it and return it. Then it's not going to bring sukoon in your heart. At the most you will think that I got rid of my anger. But it's not that. It's not going to suffice. It's going to increase. So what we should do then, it says that increase the glory of Allah Ta'ala. Praise Allah Ta'ala. And go on with that dawah towards Allah Ta'ala. They didn't give up that. That must continue. That you, by your actions, by your speech, by your publications, or whatever means there is, by jihad, whatever means, you, the appropriate mean at the appropriate time, make use of it and continue with that propagation of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. But when it comes to all their abuses and all their titles that they give you and all that, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ, make sajda, make salat, make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give them hidayat, and then continue passing on that message. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And how long must you make ibadat? How long must you continue with this? Not for a few days, for a few hours, for a few months. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. This worship of Allah Ta'ala, this ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, this submission to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's will and desire. In other words, this Islam and Iman of yours, you must take it right up to your grave. Hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen, until your death comes, you have to continue with this ibadah. Many people, they get tired. After a few days, few months, then again they say, we are tired. How long are we going to remain chained with the laws of Sharia and Deen? How long? We need a bit of space. Like one woman says, my husband keeps telling me that I need a bit of space also. How long am I going to remain tied to you? So I need a bit of space. I must be allowed to go and visit those prostitutes. He's not talking about marriage. He says he must be allowed to commit zina. He's indulging in zina. So when the wife makes a big issue of it, so he says that this is natural. It's human desire. How long must I remain tied to you? Na'uzubillah. So in the same way here, the person says, that how long now must I keep on making ibadat? Every morning must I get up for Fajr Salat. Every evening I must make Isha Salat. And then I must make the 5 times Salat. I must give Zakat. I must fast in the month of Ramadan throughout my life. And I must go for Hajj if it's farz. And I must do this and I must do that. Now how long? So the reason why we are asking this question, how long, is that because we haven't got love. If we have love for Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we are not going to ask how long must we carry on like this. If a person is truly in love with someone, then does he tell that person that I'm going to be truly in love with you for 1 month, or for 3 months, or for 6 months? The person's love will be till his dying day. He says, till my dying day I'm going to love you. So for the woman of this world, or for some illicit love, the person says, till my dying day. So for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person must say the same thing. For Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he must say the same thing. So till my dying day, I will love you, O my Allah. Till my dying day, I will love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. I will be obedient to you. I will worship you. The fish in the sea never complains. How long must I remain in this water? I'm getting tired of remaining in water. I'm catching a cold now. I also want to enjoy the biryani that's in the outside world. No fish ever says that. Because that is the enjoyment of the fish, to be in the water. And the deeper in the water, the better. So the person must have an enjoyment in his ibadat. He must look forward to it. And ibadat means everything. Ibadat is not only namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. Anything and everything that he does in accordance with Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hukam is ibadah. So in the fulfillment of the rights of people, in the fulfillment of the obligations and duties that Islam and Sharia has put upon a person, until his dying day there must be a kind of enjoyment in it. The person must look forward to it. and he must be prepared to do it until his dying day. Therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Wa'bud Rabbak, and make ibadat of your Rabb, hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Here yaqeen means mouth. And until death comes, keep on making ibadat. So what will this do? This ibadah, this zikr, this tasbihat, this namaz. So then all these noises that people are making about you, and they are criticizing, and they are mocking, and they're ridiculing, and they're doing this and doing that, then you will find some sukoon in your heart. So look at the prescriptions Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving. How loving He is, that He does not even want us to suffer so much of grief and sorrow that it will cause that distress is going to lead to depression or kind of sickness or death. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says the way out is this. The way out is this. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ and make ibadat حَتَّى يَعْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us an understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. If we have a proper understanding of the Quran and Sunnah, then it'll be easier to pass on this message of Deen, and it will make it more acceptable and palatable to people. But here what happens is that if a person tells us one thing, then we say one dozen and one things. And as a result, we are distancing people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq was overlooking, forgiving. Yes, make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created appropriately. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq of amal.